like to introduce my next guest. I also met her at the National Publicity Summit a few weeks ago, and I was so intrigued with her topic. She calls herself the dog sexpert. She puts dogs and people together. She talks about intimacy in your relationship and finding the love of your life and bringing people who are dog lovers or dog-focused people or people who just care about dogs, whether you have a pet or not, into the same room and doing social events where people can actually meet each other based on their common interests. I'd like to welcome my next guest, Cheryl Mathis. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Hi, Bonnie. Great. How are you doing?
Very, very good. It was such a pleasure to meet you, and your topic was so interesting. And, you know, the reason is I happen to know many dog lovers, and I don't know if they know about your organization, so I thought we ought to get you on and introduce them to it. So tell us a little bit about your background, Cheryl, and why did you found the website with Michelle Kennedy, the website called leashesandlovers.com. Catch us up to date. What's going on?
Well, my dogs changed my life, and they just really became the focus of everything I wanted to do. And so that's how even Leashes and Lovers came about. I was wanting to put together a type of TV show about people, pets, and dating, and I wasn't sure if that would ever take off or not. And Michelle and I actually met on a business networking site, and she was putting together singles parties, and I wanted to see if she wanted to help me make this pilot. And we said, you know what, we can marry the two ideas of this together, and at least in the meantime, we can make this happen. And so we created Leashes and Lovers. It all happened within a day.
Wow.
We met for coffee. We had never met each other before in our lives, and we just kind of hit it off and had the same vision. And she was wanting to bring together singles, and I was wanting to bring together the dog lovers. And we thought, you know, this could be a new niche and something that we felt that the New York area especially really needed. And so we made this happen. We started with one event, and we had about 35 people for the very first one, which was just strictly a word of mouth. Because,
amazing.
Yeah, when you start grassroots, you really don't know how to just put the word out there. And we got a website going within about 2 weeks, and it's just all become history since then. And it's now we have 130 people attending events, and dogs are welcome at all of our events.
Very nice. So you have to find a restaurant or park or wherever that will allow pets.
Right, and we tend to have them in lounges so that they are more cocktail parties, and we have what we call martinis and different types of fun drinks. And people, you know, they're casual, but yet they can dress nice. I mean, everybody just comes in terms of how they're most comfortable. And I've seen people, you know, wearing Gucci outfits and what have you, and attire, yet they're on the floor and playing and petting other people's pets with a martini in their hand at the same time.
So well, just, you know, what's really interesting to me, Cheryl, is that very often, well, most of the time in the dating world, you meet somebody and you hear that they have a pet, but until you get that first invitation that, oh my God, they asked me to come to their apartment or their house or their office, wherever the pet might be at the moment, you don't meet the pet. And I think even as a non-dog person, non-dog owner, I know, and I've had guests on the show who've talked to me about the fact that a pet can be a deal breaker in several ways. Pets can be very possessive.
Oh, definitely. A pet can be a big deal breaker in a lot of different ways. Or the pet can also clue you into who's right and who may be wrong for you.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's a lot of pluses and minuses. And also, when people do come and say they happen to bring their dog to the event, it is kind of a way that you get to meet the whole package at once. So like you said, you're not maybe having a couple of two or three dates, and then you meet their pet, and you're like, ooh, you know, this just isn't going to work out. And especially
if the pet doesn't like you.
Yeah. I've had a lot of people say, one girl in particular even said, she goes, you know, I broke up with this guy because he just wasn't into my dog.
Wow.
And so it just wasn't going to, and most people I even talk to at our events, especially women, say that if the guy does not like their dog, there will not be a second date.
Interesting. Is that more important to them about whether the man smokes or cleans up after himself?
It seems to be at the tip of their tongue when I'm talking to them.
There you go.
And also what I find really interesting, too, at the parties is people will say most of the time during the event that they never even get around to asking what the other person does for a living. And they find that really refreshing, that it's really more about bringing down barriers and just finding out more who the other person is. And it's amazing how just by stroking the dog while you talk about things, it's like all these other things come spilling out of your mouth, and maybe about what your true passions are in life and just who you really are. And I think immediately you get much more of a sense of who the other person is, and you can tell more about yourself, too, without sounding like you know, it's all about your work.
Now, Cheryl, do you think since Paris Hilton started toting around her little miniature as an accessory almost, do you think people started, especially in the city, started acquiring dogs so it would become like a fashion accessory / date magnet for certain types of people? And they really don't care that much about their dog? And somebody who does love dogs would know that right away, wouldn't they?
I think anybody who does have one, even if they are carrying it around, and it might be a bit more of an accessory for them or a fashion statement, but I think still down deep, they do care about that dog. I mean, they're the ones who usually have the biggest wardrobe in their closet for their dog, and they're dressing them up for every occasion. So while they might be a fashion accessory, I think, though, they do definitely love their dog just as much as anyone else who may not be the type to dress them up. But we do send out certain signals when we treat our dogs. You know, are we the type that always do have it up in our arms? Are we dressing it up? Is it in designer clothes or not designer clothes? Is it studs around its neck? Or, you know, and the type of dog, too, that people bring with them, it's been really amazing. I've seen time and time again how many people look like their dog.
I was going to ask you about that. They say as you get older, you do look more like your dog. Do you think that's true?
It's completely true.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I mean, shockingly true.
Buy a cute dog.
I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people now, and it's just amazing how I think majority look like their dog. And if they don't look like the dog, they resemble them and their personality. I think oftentimes, too, our dog ends up being a reflection of also like an extension of ourselves, of who we think we are or maybe what we want to be. But it definitely kind of sends out this other message, too, of how we see ourselves. And I think we even do it somewhat subconsciously.
You know, probably
you
do.
That type of dog, and what is it that attracts that dog to you as you go, yeah, that's the one. That's the one for me. And I think it really is somehow just an extension of how we view ourselves. So when you do see someone with their dog, you know, and it's not necessarily the type or the breed, but it's more just what you see about that dog is going to reveal a lot about that person.
Now, I know that dogs can end up being the equivalent of children in a breakup, and that in relationships you can have issues over disciplining the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the owner would want first dibs on setting disciplinary rules and styles and having the first and last right to let the dog know what is and isn't acceptable in the home or wherever you take the dog. Is that I'm going to use a very silly word, is that a bone of contention, Cheryl? Is who gets to tell the dog, you know, now it's time to go lay in your little doggy bed, or that's enough dog bones for you, or we're done with the Frisbee, it's cold and we're going home. Is that something that can break up a couple?
Oh, definitely. A lot of couples will have fights about this, and whether they're dating or actually married and whatnot. Cause also, too, at least as lovers, everyone is welcome at our parties. So, you know, I do talk to people at all levels who maybe have been in relationships for some time or even married. I've had people say, right, how they discipline the dog, that one of them is much tougher on the dog. And I've even heard couples discuss it in front of me, and they almost get into another little fat right there about,
wow.
And it almost, it's funny because it sounds like, you know, they're talking about their child.
And you know what the music is talking about? It's talking about it's time for a break. How's that for a bad segue?
Okay.
I'm Bonnie D. Graham talking to the very interesting and charming Cheryl Mathis. She is the co-founder of leashesandlovers.com. Spell the whole thing out. We'll come back and talk more with Cheryl about whether the dog is really a deal breaker and what it means when your dog won't leave the bedroom and you want him or her to vamoose so you can have a little fun on your own. We'll be right back. And we're back with the last quarter of Up Close and Personal with Bonnie D. Graham on the Friday night edition of WGBB tonight with my special guest, Cheryl Mathis, the co-founder of leashesandlovers.com. Cheryl, I want to go into a little dating scenario. Would you permit me that?
Okay.
Here's a scenario. Somebody finds out about leashesandlovers.com, and they find out that you're going to have a get-ready-for-summer event. The event, this is real, is at Crash Mansion, 199 Bowery in New York. It's Monday, May 7th from 7 to 10 p.m. It's a Leashes and Lovers event that includes past hors d'oeuvres, live music, a model and canine bikini fashion show, bathing canine beauty contest, fabulous prizes, gourmet dog biscuits, raffle prizes, and partial some of the benefits go to the ASPCA. The dress is casual. It's $45. All well and good. So Don and Joan, who are a couple with our first guest, Jimmy DeMesa, in the Be Happy part of the show tonight. John and Joan are dog lovers, and they go to this wonderful event on May 7th at the Crash Mansion. And John brings his dog, Cheryl, fill in the blank. What kind of dog does he have?
Make up a reveal.
Make up a dog.
I'll just make up a dog. He has a lab.
Okay. And Joan shows up at the Crash Mansion at the Leashes and Lovers party. And what kind of dog does Joan have?
She has a Chihuahua.
Chihuahua. Okay. And they meet, and it's love at first sight across the room, and the dogs like each other, too. So they yak, 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 and they share some gourmet dog biscuits with their doggies, and they giggle about the contest, and maybe Joan came in a bikini, and she's part of the human part of the bikini contest. And John says, wow, this gal is really great. I love her dog. His dog and her dog are getting together, and now it's time to leave. They leave at around 9. They really don't have to be home until 11 to go to bed to get ready for work the next day. Mm-hmm. So the question is, one of them, all right, let's just say that they are going to have a coffee date without the pets. So what do they do with the dogs now? They take them home?
Well, they can certainly take them all to one person's place, because I would imagine since they both have a dog,
right?
So they know that each other's home is very much dog-centered. So it's nothing to throw another pillow on the floor, and it's okay if somebody else's dog hair gets on it. Because if you're a dog lover, you're a lot more accepting of things like that. So, yeah, certainly if both of them already have a dog, it's a lot easier than to just kind of make it one big party.
Now, is it advisable or inadvisable on a first meet-and-greet date like that to actually be affectionate? I'm not talking anything racy here. It's family hour. You know, they might sit and listen to some nice, soft music, and maybe he'll put his arm around her, but nothing more than that. Would that upset his dog or her dog or both dogs?
It could. It definitely could, and I've seen it oftentimes. I was even witness to it in the dog run where it was a new couple.
Yeah.
And she had the dog and he didn't. And every time they would go to kiss, the dog would weasel its way in between them and get right up at the face and kind of like start to block her, sending signals to the guy like, hey, no, wait a minute, that face belongs to me. And dogs really do, they can get jealous.
So that could be a bone, I hate that word, but a bone of contention where they're, let's say they went back to Joan's apartment with John and his dog, and Joan and her dog, obviously. And so both dogs might not be that interested in each other, but they're certainly watching what's going on with their owners, correct?
There have been some peeping Fidos, yes, I've been told, and it creates some different scenarios. I've had people say, for instance, that, you know, one of them just may not be that comfortable with it, and how they've gone ahead and put the dog in the bathroom, but then while the dog is whining the whole time, and then the girls are saying, I can't relax. This isn't going to work. And meanwhile, the guy is usually like, well, what? What's the matter? And not even noticing. I even had a French guy with him say, you know, he actually liked it when the dog would take a peek and be a part of it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's French.
Interesting. French, yes. Intimacy takes on all kinds of new meanings when you're French. Ooh la la. So let's say that John and Joan have a nice first date, and the dogs seem to get along reasonably well, and Joan's apartment is not ripped to shreds by the two dogs having a fight while John and Joan are listening to some intimate music and getting to know each other. And let's say the relationship goes a couple more weeks, and it's time for them to decide they want to be a little more intimate. Do they leave each of their dogs home and go to a motel or a resort somewhere, or do they go to Joan's place and stick the dogs over in a corner somewhere and just hope for the best? How would you advise them to handle the dogs?
You know, this is the wonderful thing about dog owners, is that they're so responsible. They would never even think of just leaving the dog somewhere and going to a motel.
Okay.
If anything, what they would tend to do is find a pet-friendly hotel, or that pet-friendly B&B, or, you know, make it an outing for all of them. But even if that weren't the case, then they would most likely opt to be at one or the other person's place. And chances are, since she has the Chihuahua in this case, she would probably bring the Chihuahua over to his house because it's a little bit easier to transport. And that's one of this whole thing. I really noticed it's amazing how dog owners especially, because you do have to walk the dog and do all these things, but I have hardly ever seen anybody at our parties get intoxicated.
Oh, and interesting.
We have some lounges, and we're having martinis and things like that, and most of the time, we don't even make our bar minimum, which is embarrassing.
Really?
Well, we'll have, you know, 150 people, and we're not even making the bar minimum, because our people just, I find it really interesting, they're not big drinkers when they have their dog with them.
Interesting.
And, yeah,
wow.
It's almost like you might as well be having your 3-year-old with you, because you know that you need to get your dog home safely.
So it's a clean living group. Now, have you had any marriages in your group so far, or any engagements?
No, not yet, but we have seen a lot of exchanging of phone numbers. And then also, you know, besides in the events, anyone around the country can make a profile of themselves and their dog. And again, it's not having a dog is a requirement. You know, you don't have to have a dog. But you can make a profile of yourself and your pet, and the questions are equally balanced for the two of you, so you get equal attention. And maybe you want to find someone to date, or maybe even just a friend, or maybe someone who has the same breed as you, or someone with the, who wants to be an activity partner who might have the same kind of dog and you want to go out jogging together, or just, you know, write to that fellow greyhound lover across the country. There's so many different options that, you know, just a way to connect with other people who are like-minded.
Now, Cheryl, is the website free if you want to enter a profile?
Yes, it is all free.
Really? Mm-hmm. No, is this a non-profit business for you and Michelle, or is this profit?
Well, no, it's not It's not a not-for-profit.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're going to get something out of spending all this time on it.
Yeah, yeah. And we just, you know, we really want to bring together the dog lovers of the world. And we also always have it as our mission that every event we do, we recognize an animal charity organization, because that's at the heart of it for us, too. We certainly don't judge people in any way how they get their pet. And I'm just happy anytime someone brings a pet into their family.
And you have some rescued dogs yourself, right?
Yes, I have greyhounds.
Now, tell me one more thing, because we're just about out of time. What does it mean you say you're a dog sexpert? What is that, Cheryl?
Well, I just love talking to people at the events and on the streets and what have you about how their dogs impact their personal relationships.
Interesting.
Because they are part of the family, so it is kind of like what we were talking about earlier. You know, when they do have that first date, you know, how is the dog impacting whether they have that second date or not? Or the couple who maybe they do break up, and is there going to be visitation rights to the dog? Or who gets the dog?
That well, kind of thing. You know what I would love, Cheryl, is maybe later in the year, perhaps in the fall, you would come back on the show and you would have a couple of people from your group call in and talk to us about real-life experiences with their dogs and dating. How would that be?
I would love that.
And that we can talk more about how far Leashes and Lovers has progressed. Are you planning a book on this, or just going to stick with a website?
Oh, no, actually, a book is in the works.
Well, you've got to send me a copy. We'll have to do that again, too, okay?
Okay.
And
sounds great, Bonnie.
Leashes, L-E-A-S-H-E-S, and A-N-D, Lovers, L-O-V-E-R-S, all together, no punctuation, no hyphens, no stopping, no spaces, .com. It's Cheryl Mathis. Spell us your last name.
Yep, Mathis, M-A-T-T-H-Y-S, but you can always reach me, Cheryl with an S.
Cheryl with an S, S-H-E-R-Y-L. And if they want to contact you, should they just go to the website and click contact us?
They can just put Cheryl at leashesandlovers.com.
S-H-E-R-Y-L at L-E-A-S-H-E-S-A-N-D-L-O-V-E-R-S.com. Lucky I can spell. Cheryl, all the best. It was delightful to meet you at the Publicity Summit. Delighted to have you on the show, and we'll talk again, okay?
Thank you, Bonnie. It was great.
Thanks a lot. Bye, Cheryl.
Bye.